Srila Prabhupada ki Bhakti Vedanta ki Gurdu Rashi Bhagavatam ki Giriraj Maharaj ki Go pray, Manali. Okay. So tonight we shall finish chapter 38. What is chapter 38 called? What is that? Akura's arrival in Vrindavan. Okay. So, tonight we'll go from verses 21 to 43. We'll finish the chapter. Okay. Having been embraced by the all-famous Lord Krishna, I will humbly stand before him with bowed head and joined palms, and he will address me, my dear Akura. At that very moment, my life's purpose will be fulfilled. Indeed, the life of anyone whom the Supreme Personality fails to recognize is simply pitiable. At this point in time, Akura is meditating upon his arrival. So he hasn't actually arrived as yet. It's interesting because what he foresees in his meditation actually manifests. We'll see in a few verses near the end of the chapter that most of these things actually take place. This is the power of his meditation. In other words, he has desires. Which he once fulfilled. And by Krishna's mercy, those desires become fulfilled. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he makes a very... There's no purport here by the BBT devotees, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes a very interesting point, a very powerful point. He says that one's life becomes truly fortunate, or actually he says it the other way. He says, one's life is truly unfortunate if he is not respected by great persons. So Akura is meditating like that I will arrive in Vrindavan and these great personalities will offer me their respect. So that is the way he is meditating. So we should also meditate like that. We should also meditate that we hope that when we meet great personalities, they will give us some respect or some mercy or some reciprocation. That's how we meditate. Before your spiritual master comes to Melbourne, for example, or before some great personality comes, and you're meditating on them before they come, and then in your mind you might be thinking, I hope it is like this, I hope it is like that, I hope I get a flower garland from them, I hope they recognize me or see me, I hope they give me some prasad or a flower from their hand or some reciprocation. So we meditate like that. Does anyone here meditate like that? Yeah, some devotees. Now hands up if you do. Okay. Some of you don't. We might meditate that when they come, I will get some special reciprocation. Akura is meditating like that. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, it is truly unfortunate if one is not respected by great persons or not shown some favor by them. If the great persons fail to give us their mercy, our lives are meaningless. If we don't get any reciprocation from great souls, our lives are useless. Then what is the purpose of living? If we do not receive any reciprocation from great souls. In other words, if we are ignored by great souls, then our lives become difficult. And it is only, actually, they're ignoring us or they're chastising us is also their mercy. That is also how they purify us. But we want to gain their favor or their respect. Or we want them to have a favorable, merciful attitude towards us. So Kuru is thinking like that. He's thinking that when I arrive in Vrindavan, I want that Krishna and Balaram will receive me very warmly. And in that way, his life will become perfect. Our lives become perfect. So we need to get the mercy of the devotees. The devotees have to be pleased with us. If devotees are not pleased with us, our life is not meaningful. Not worth living. Your life only becomes worth living when the devotees are satisfied with you and happy with you. So he's thinking like that in his meditation. So, any points?
Agnidev Prabhu came to our place for prasadam, and he was sharing how he met Prabhupada and all these things. So I asked, did you have any personal association of Prabhupada? So he said not really, but once he came to America and he was leading a kirtan, and Prabhupada just gave him a glance only, and it was a very merciful glance, and that was the only remembrance I have in my mind. So you know, the merciful glance itself is like a very memorable reciprocation for devotees as well from his future.
We are saying Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying that we must expect respect and reciprocation from the devotees, and we must meditate on that. So sometimes it's very difficult to draw that line where our ego is taking over and we need that attention to satisfy our ego, whether it is just that reciprocation that we are looking for. Because then when we start acting on that false ego platform, then you know, it's, oh, I should get this service, I should do this, and you know, then relationships with God brothers or God sisters or whoever can get strained, because there is that expectation that I should be getting that respect. So sometimes drawing that line is very important, and how do we balance of drawing that line when we actually should expect that yes, we should receive the reciprocation, but at the same time it should not be acting on an ego platform or something like that.
So it means that when you're serving the spiritual master or when you're serving advanced devotees, you just want to see them happy. So, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said last week, if you want to be successful in Krishna consciousness, you need intelligence. So intelligence means you need to discriminate. The guru might be happier if my god brother is directly serving and I am assisting. Or you might understand that the guru is more satisfied that if I am doing direct service. He will indicate that. So according to the indication, you have to be intelligent. As you said, sometimes your ego clouds the situation.
And other devotees' egos also cloud, so then those ego clashes start happening.
Yeah, so at least we should try to be free from ego. If their egos are clouding, that's their situation. But then Krishna will work that out. And the guru will work that out. If the senior devotee is not satisfied, he'll tell someone to move away. Just like one time we went on a morning walk with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So we walked down South Melbourne, you know, South Melbourne Gardens, Botanical Gardens, just over there near Canterbury Road. So we're walking through there. And I was carrying the umbrella because it might have rained. So as halfway through the gardens, it began to rain. So I was in ecstasy because then I thought, oh, if I have the umbrella, I can get close to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I can hold the umbrella above him. So we went under a tree. All the devotees had, you know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and I put the umbrella up, and I was standing next to him, and I was feeling so, proud and fortunate that I'm holding the umbrella. So he looked at me, and he grabbed the umbrella, and he gave it to someone else. Because he could understand that I was proud. My motivation was not to please him. My motivation was thinking that I am the holder of the umbrella. So he just took it off me and he gave it to some other devotee. But then he wasn't happy because the mood was not right. Anyone can hold an umbrella, that's not a big deal. But the mood was not correct. So therefore he distanced him. So the point is that you have to have the right mood in the service. And if you're intelligent as a disciple, you understand if the guru wants you close or wants you, he will indicate. And you know, if he's unhappy, then you know you should back away. And if he's satisfied, then you can come closer. So you have to be intelligent enough to understand what the guru wants. In other words, the motivation should be to please that personality, not what I'm getting out of the service, but what they're getting out of the service.
Plus, also, you are in Shikshashtakam, the third verse which we discussed, I think, in my last class also, how you have to sit the paradigm and talk, not expecting any respect or adoration and return for our services. And we see from the example of the devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, how they used to stay in the background and push other devotees ahead. So, that is also there, that we should not expect respect or adoration.
Yeah. In other words, you have to understand your position. That's the point. You have to understand your position amongst God brothers, God sisters, other devotees. You know, when a senior devotee comes, you have to serve them. Then we should serve in a cooperative manner. And if someone's more senior or more qualified, then you assist that person, right? And if you're the more senior person, then maybe you'll go forward. Right? So you have to understand. It's okay. Any other points?
You used the word respect. I was just thinking that the right one should be expect respect from the greater personality.
That's what was there in the commentary by Vishnu Chakravarti.
Yeah.
That's a word that was used. So.
Should be respect.
Respect means like affection or.
Affection, yeah.
Use that word, use affection. Okay.
Can I maybe it's not so much expect, but
Yeah, well it just means that you want if they're happy with you, that's the point.
But he wrote in Bengali, didn't he?
No, Sanskrit.
Yeah.
The Supreme Lord has no favorite and no dearmost friend, nor does he consider anyone undesirable, despicable, or fit to be neglected. All the same, he lovingly reciprocates with his devotees in whatever manner they worship him, just as the trees of heaven fulfill the desires of whoever approaches them. Brihadbandhu.
The Lord sees something similar in Bhagavad Gita 9.29. I envy no one, nor am I practical to anyone. Partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend and is in me. And I am also a friend to him. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya was as hurt as the thunderbolt for those who envied him, and as soft as rose for those who understood his divine mission.
Any points? How do we say that in Sanskrit? Yeah. So Krishna gives that verse. I think I quote that verse more than any other verse when I'm preaching. Yayatamam prapajante tamstatave bhajamyaham. Means, as you surrender, I reward you accordingly. So Krishna is reciprocal. Krishna, because he's a great personality, when you approach the great personality, you have to accept their mood. Just like one time I was listening to a lecture, Sachinandan Swami, he was questioning Tamal Krishna Maharaj, because Tamal Krishna Maharaj received a lot of Prabhupada's association, close associate. So Sachinandan Swami, he asked a question. He said, what was it like being with Prabhupada? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, when you're with Prabhupada, you had to let Prabhupada dictate the mood. because Prabhupada is the superior personality. So when you're with the more advanced devotees, you have to let them dictate the mood. If they're in a very light and frivolous mood, then you can reciprocate like that. If they're serious, you reciprocate like that. Right? If they're in a very heavy mood, you reciprocate like that. They have to dictate the mood. So Krishna, he reciprocates according to the mood of the devotee. So if the mood of the devotee, if a devotee has a particular mood, then Krishna will reciprocate like that. In other words, but you have to let Krishna reciprocate as he desires. So you may have a particular mood to serve Krishna in a particular way, but then as he desires to reciprocate. So Krishna, that is his nature. You have to let him decide how he wants to. So it is said that Krishna is dependent on the love of his devotees. So Krishna always reciprocates according to how much love and affection the devotee has. So Krura has a type of love, right? And the residents of Vrindavan, they have specific types of love. And according to the mood of love, then Krishna manifests his personality. You know? With those who are in a particular mood, then Krishna will manifest just different attributes of his personality. Any points?
Gives much more mercy than they really deserve.
Yeah. Yes, that is true.
Yeah. So
he is much
more than
too much. We do not deserve anything. We are lower than a worm in stool. Want to laugh. And then Lord Krishna's elder brother, the foremost of the Yadus, will grasp my joined hands while I am standing with my head bowed. And after embracing me, he will take me to his house. There he will honor me with all items of ritual welcome and inquire about me, about how Kamsa has been treating his family members. So what do we learn from that verse? We learn Vedic culture. Who is teaching us? Balaram. Who is Balaram? The Adi Guru, the original spiritual master. So the spiritual master teaches us how to serve Krishna. Right? He is called a Shraya Vigraha, which means he is the form in which Krishna empowers to teach us how to serve Krishna. How do you learn to serve Krishna? You need gurus. You need advanced devotees to teach you how to serve Krishna. What is the mood in serving Krishna? You can't understand how to please Krishna unless you have spiritual masters. And the spiritual masters will give you their guidance. And most importantly, they will teach us by their example how to serve Krishna. In their thoughts, their words, their deeds, we will see how Krishna is pleased. So the original guru is Balaram. And it is his birthday very, very soon. What date is Balaram's birthday? August the 7th? Yeah, it's a Monday. Sorry. 7th of August. That is Balaram's birthday. So we celebrate the mood of the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. Lord Balaram is Servitor Godhead. Brinda, go and sit down. Don't just walk around. So it's not a grade 6 fashion show. Sit down somewhere. So Lord Balaram is Servitor Godhead. So he teaches us how to perfectly serve Krishna. So he is training Akrura even, or setting the example even for Akrura. How does he receive Akrura? Right? It's Vedic culture, Vedic etiquettes. These are called upachar. Upachar means items that you must offer a great personality. When we do deity worship, in the morning here in the temple, we worship the Shalagram Shila. So different devotees worship Shalagram Shila, different pujaris, they go and they worship. So they do that on behalf of all of us. Yeah? So one pujari will take the seva in the morning. He's doing that on behalf of all of us. So he will offer particular upachars or particular items of worship to the Lord. Yeah? So garlands are offered. Set, do you do that?
Not for Shalagram.
Not for Shalagram. No. Who does? Gopa does, right? Yeah, Gopa does. Rasika. So they do for the Shalagram. Yeah? So they offer garland, they offer chandan, massage with oils, bathe, right? And then we take Charanamrita. Charanamrita is the bathing water from the Shalagram, the Abhishek. Then we take that water, the Charanamrita. So this is the system. Yeah? So Balaram is teaching us when someone great comes, then you have to offer these things. At least you have to offer, Prabhupada says, most simple, you offer water, kind words, and a straw mat. That is the most simple. But if you can, you offer more things. So Balaram is offering the best worship to Akrura that he can. So, also, he reveals his mind in confidence. Rupa Goswami said there are six ways to deepen relationships in Krishna consciousness. What are the six ways that we deepen relationships? Give gifts and receive gifts. Right? Then?
Give
prasad, receive prasad. Then? Very good. Reveal the mind and inquire confidentially. So you see here, the dati, pratigrinati. Then they're coming together. Balaram, Nanda Maharaj, we'll ask in a minute, Krura. Revealing the mind in confidence. So that is the loving exchange. It's how we deepen relationships, you know, amongst devotees. You have to give prasad. Then you have to receive prasad. You have to give gifts. You have to receive gifts. Right? You have to inquire confidentially. Right? And you have to reveal your mind in confidence. Prabhupada would always say, pre-1970, the very early days of ISKCON, Prabhupada would say, quite often he would write in his letters to his devotees. The movement was very small pre-1970. And Prabhupada would use this phrase again and again. He says, ISKCON will go on by love and trust. Many times, Prabhupada wrote, pre-1970, when the movement was small. Because Prabhupada was teaching us the movement, this is how the movement spreads. When you can trust the devotee, then you can reveal your mind. You can't reveal your mind and heart if you don't trust someone. So when you trust someone, you can tell them confidential things. Right? And that's how the movement expands. That's how relationships grow. Right? And that's how we grow as devotees also. So we need to become
humble.
Humble? What else? Trustworthy. Do devotees trust you? Look at yourself. When you get up in the morning for Mangalarti, look at yourself in the mirror, right? And ask yourself, can devotees trust me? Am I trustworthy? If you're not trustworthy, then what is your purpose of existence? If devotees cannot trust you, practically it's the most important element of our lives. Devotees have to be able to trust us. If they can trust us, then our life is meaningful. Because then we can assist devotees. We can serve devotees. So Akrura, he is revealing his mind in confidence. Balaram is asking confidentially. So at the end of the conversation, Balaram asks, how is your uncle? How is the king of Mathura? What's his name?
Kamsa.
Kamsa. Right? So he's saying, is he looking after everyone? This is Kshatriya Dharma. How do you feel when there is Kshatriya there? How do you feel when you're with a Kshatriya?
Protected.
You feel safe and protected. That is called Kshatriya Dharma. Unfortunately, there's not so many Kshatriyas around. to protect us. So, in Kali Yuga, who takes the role?
Krishna.
Krishna, yeah, you see Krishna walking around.
Oh, sorry.
Who takes the role? Go and sit down somewhere. What are you doing? Sit down. Who takes the role?
Sudras.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say who actually takes the role. Someone has to take it. The police. Someone said the politicians. All wrong so far. What do we call the king in the Vedic time? Rajashi. We call him Maharaj. Hey, Maharaj. Right? So he protects us because he's the Maharaj. In Kali Yuga, we call the sannyasi Maharaj. He's not a Maharaj, he's not a great king. But we call him great king. Why? Because in Kali Yuga, the sannyasis protect us. Because there's no real chatrits. So the sannyasi becomes like the Maharaj. He becomes the protector of society. They call Burujamprabhu Maharaj. Like that. It's like he becomes the protector. Like that. So that is the system. Kshatriya Dharma means the person who protects. So he's saying, what about this Kamsa? Is he looking after everyone? Is he protecting all of you? What's he actually doing to everyone? Now he's killing his own family. So what sort of a... And this is what happens when the leaders, and no one checks them. And Krishna doesn't like this, so Krishna steps in. Okay, Kamsa no one else can deal with, I'll go there, I'll do it. That's what this is all about. On the external level, that's what it's all about. Right? A crew comes across, you'll have to come now. No one else can deal with this person. And Krishna says, okay, I'll do it, I'll go. Krishna and Balaram, they divide everything up. One of them kills Chanura, the other one kills Mushtik. Krishna kills Kams, Balaram kills Dvivida. So they divide it all up. You take half, I'll take half. You kill Pralamba, Balaram kills Pralamba, I'll kill Bakka. Like that. So they divide it up, they destroy all the demons. Any points?
Ways to deepen relationships. Yep. We see that a lot of gopis, why they act.
Yeah.
They give gifts, receive gifts, they make food, they send things to each other, they're confidential with each other. It's nice that they also set the example.
Yeah, they're the best. Yeah. They're the best gurus. And who become the gurus? The gopis take birth as the gurus in our movement. Yeah, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were all mandaris in the spiritual world, gopis. So they come into this world to teach us. Rupa Goswami, he was the one who wrote that. In the spiritual world, he is a Rupa Mandari. Yeah, so he's gopi, cowherd girl. He comes into this world and says, hey, give gifts, receive gifts, teaches us how to do it, then he goes back. They just come sometimes, they teach us, then they go back. Good girl. Sitting nicely, good girl. Not standing everywhere like, I don't know. Good girl, sitting. Okay? Sitting, no problem. Standing, problem. Okay? TK? Acha.
It's also
And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says he's extremely tense. Because when you go to meet someone very great, you become very nervous. Because you don't feel qualified. But then when you get there, then suddenly they treat you with such sweetness that it relieves all of your anxiety. So. Okay.
I was listening one lecture about Nanak Malak was mentioning about this sloka, Dada Bhikkhandi, he says receiving gift and giving gifts does not mean material gift only. Krishna Katha is the best gift. So we should give Krishna Katha and we should give the best friends.
Good.
Is it that Purana had the faith or trust in the Lord, or the Lord knew what he was thinking and so he fulfilled his desire?
Both.
When I was reading this, I think I got the feeling that he wasn't forecasting as saying, this is what's going to happen. I think it was like a prayer. He was saying, he was hoping and praying God, meditating in that way. Not expecting, hoping and wishing and desiring. I think it's important to know that. That it's not like he's forcing it. He can't force the love of God.
Okay. Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, while the son of Shvapalka, traveling on the road, thus meditated deeply on Sri Krishna, he reached Gokul as the sun was beginning to set. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out, he was so deeply in meditation, he wasn't really even driving the chariot. Like he was on the chariot and holding the reins, but he was so much meditating on Krishna, he wasn't even really conscious of where the chariot was going. So what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. So sometimes, we don't even know what we're doing. But Krishna, he's looking after everything. So Krishna arranged that he would get there. One time Prabhupada said to Brahmananda Prabhu, you know Brahmananda Prabhu?
Yeah.
One of Prabhupada's first disciples. Right? Prabhupada said, ISKCON is not going on because of you, it is going on in spite of you. Actually, it's a fact. ISKCON's not going on because of all of us, it's going on in spite of all of us. ISKCON could be going so much more if... Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, if all of my disciples became pure devotees, Krishna could give us the whole USA in 18 days. If we were all pure devotees, Krishna could give us the whole of Australia in 18 days. But then Prabhupada said, then what would you do with it? We're not advanced enough yet to know what to do. So that's why it's taking so long to spread this movement. This movement could spread so much quicker if we were surrendered. In the cowherd pasture, Akrura saw the footprints of those feet whose pure dust the rulers of all the planets in the universe hold on their crowns. Those footprints of the Lord, distinguished by such marks as the lotus, barleycorn, and elephant goat, make the ground wonderfully beautiful. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in the commentary, anything which is related to Krishna brings astonishing good fortune. So anything, Krishna's footprints, which are there in the ground, a crow could see Krishna's footprints just there on the ground. So just seeing Krishna's footprints, it brought the most auspicious good fortune. So anything which is related to Krishna gives the most good fortune in this world. So that's why Prabhupada said we have to distribute prasadam. When we distribute prasadam, it gives unlimited good fortune to the living entities. Yesterday at the Hare Krishna Valley, we had our Sunday feast program. We had 20 new Western people. 20 Western people. Right? Very, very nice people. One lady told me she's osteopath and nice, nice people. Right? So they come. We give them the holy name, right? They chant and dance. We have a very nice Sunday feast program there, right? We get them all to dance and chant with us, right? And then for 1 hour, we just ask for questions. I don't give class. I just say, what are your questions? They ask, and then we just give, right? And then we give them prasad. Such nice prasadam. Mani Griva Prabhu and Dhanli Thai Prabhu cook really nice feast. And we give them, give that to them. And we just sit there and we talk to them. So anything to do with Krishna, it purifies. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says it gives astonishing good fortune. It can change your entire life. Yeah. Anything. Krishna's footprints, Krishna's prasad, the holy name, Prabhupada's books. Yesterday was first day of Chaturmasya. In the Shastra it says that when you give Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to give it on which day? Purnima. If you ever sell a full set, you try to give it to the person on Purnima. One lady we've been cultivating at the farm, now she's a counsellor, 58 years old. She's a counsellor, works as a counsellor and something. She's chanting 10 rounds every day now, Western lady. And yesterday she brought full set of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all auspicious. So it says astonishing good fortune. Anything to do with Krishna creates revolution in the consciousness of the living entities. So Akura is saying just the footprint. He sees the footprint, what does he do? Gets off the chariot. We'll see in the next couple of verses. He gets off the chariot. Increasingly agitated by ecstasy at seeing the Lord's footprints, his bodily hair standing on end because of his pure love, and his eyes filled with tears, Akrura jumped down from his chariot and began rolling about among those footprints, exclaiming, "Ah, this is the dust from my master's feet." So what are these footprints called in Sanskrit? Udipa. Udipan means? Yeah. Stimulus to ecstasy. Anything which is related to Krishna stimulates our ecstasy. So tears come from your eyes and your body starts to tremble. Just when you hear Krishna's name. If we're advanced, when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, tears should come from the eyes and the body should start to tremble. That is actually the symptom of advanced chanting. That means finally you're making it somewhere. So, Akrura, as soon as he saw, then trembling, and he fell down, tears in his eyes, rolling in the dust of Krishna's footprints. The very goal of life for all embodied beings is this ecstasy which Akrura experienced when, upon receiving Kamsa's order, he put aside all pride, fear, and lamentation and absorbed himself in seeing, hearing, and describing the things that reminded him of Lord Krishna. What of a bundle pool?
See, La Vishwanatha Chakravarti explained that Akrura gave up fear by openly showing his love and reverence for Krishna. Even though he or his family might have been punished by the angry Kamsa, Akrura gave up his pride in being an aristocratic member of the society and worship the covert residents of the simple village of Vrindavan. And he gave up lamenting for his house, wife and family, which were in danger from Kamsa. Giving up all these things, he rolled in the dust of the lotus feet of God.
So what is this verse teaching us? Yeah. And what do those three things give us qualification for? Very good. Very good. Entering Vrindavan. What is the goal of our life? Very good. To enter Vrindavan. This is it. This verse is the entire essence of the Bhagavatam in one sense. We have to get to Vrindavan. What is your goal? What is the goal of your life? What's your goal? What's the goal of your life? Huh? Back to Godhead. Wrong answer. What is Godhead? It is Vrindavan. Godhead means awe and reverence. Vrindavan is only sweetness. So the goal of our life is to enter into Vrindavan Dham. Right? And Vrindavan Dham is not easy to get into because it is protected by Lord Shiva. And how is it to get past Lord Shiva? Completely impossible. You can't get past him. You can't sneak past him. I've tried it. I've tried to bring Darwin so many times. I sneak in there like, oh, I'm here now. You know, maybe I'll see Krishna, but not possible. Lord Shiva's there. I've even had personal pastimes with Lord Shiva. You know, I go and see his linga. He has lingas all around. I've gone to see his linga. Straight afterward, whole pastime just unfolds. And he just shows me, you're not qualified to be here, rascal. Back to Melbourne. No qualification. So to enter Vrindavan, you need these three things. What are the three things?
Freedom.
Freedom from?
Pride.
Okay. Hands up if you've got this one. Hands up if you're free from pride. One girl, very good.
I'm not free.
Okay, I'll start again. Hands up if you're free from pride. Hands up if you will ever become free from pride. I don't even know what it means anymore. Honestly, I don't. I sit there today meditating, you know, so deeply. I can't even imagine what it means to be free from pride. Even when I think what it's like to be free from pride, I become a little bit proud that I'm free from pride. I'm being proud about being free from pride, which I don't actually have yet, but I don't even know what it means anymore. You know, I'm just hoping, you know, when I die, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I just hope maybe a few of you are there and you're chanting or something, because I don't know what hope I've got, honestly. You know, maybe Lord Chaitanya will cleanse something, but otherwise, I don't even understand what this means, to be free from pride. But you can't go into Vrindavan until you are free from pride. That's the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. What is the second thing?
Fearlessness.
Fearlessness. You must be fearless. That means you have so much faith in Krishna that you're completely dependent upon him. Right? Have you ever met anyone who's like this? So much faith on Krishna. Prabhupada. These are the kind of people we're talking about. It means you have to get to something close to Prabhupada. I've met devotees actually who are like that, especially devotees who are leaving their body. I've met some devotees who are leaving their body and they're just completely fearless. You know, they're so dependent on Krishna, so close to Krishna. You know, and you meet some advanced devotees also in our movement. You meet some, and they're actually like that. You know, it's quite rare, actually. Right? And what is the third quality? Free from lamentation. Free from lamentation means you are so confident in Krishna's protection that you no longer worry about anything. Once again, I cannot explain this. I can't give you any purport because I can't imagine. I have something of it, but not to the degree that we're talking about. You know, personally, I can look at myself. I can say, okay, I'm dependent on Krishna to a degree, and I can see that in myself. But when it comes to this level, like what Akrura is talking about, where you just don't worry about anything, Krishna will take care of it. You know, we say that all the time. Krishna will take. And I do believe that, and I do practice that a lot. But then there's another level of feeling like that, and I haven't got to that level, and that's very, very advanced. But Akrura is teaching us you need these three things if you want to get into Vrindavan. So good luck. I pray for all of you. All right. Please do the same back, because I've got no idea how to actually do all this.
Fearlessness and fruitful meditation seem, there is a little bit of a difference, but awfully close to each other. Both of them are linked to surrendering to
In the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport gives some clarification. So if you read that, that will give some clarification.
And lust isn't in there. Isn't lust a big one?
It's inherent. Yeah. It's all about pride. It's inside. Anything else? Yeah.
It's all talk.
When you're doing devotion service, the first thing that goes away is fear. If you don't have fear that goes away, then obviously you're not crossing over. Right, there's a red somewhere. Fearlessness has to go first if you're doing devotion service.
Yeah, so it means there are different degrees, obviously. Different degrees. I mean, the fact that we've taken up devotional service means we've renounced so much, detached, but it's just like the beginning levels. Yeah, but now we're talking about higher levels and higher levels, and now we're talking about entering Vrindavan itself. So now we're talking about, you know, full surrender. Like that. So different layers, levels. Okay.
Good.
Okay. Now verses 28 to 33. What is this a description of?
Huh?
What?
There's a praying because when he's describing the glorification.
Yeah. What we're about to hear about is the original form of God. Right? This is Krishna in Vrindavan. So this, you can meditate on this. This is Krishna in his original form. This is like a darshan of it. So as we read, then meditate on this. Akrura then saw Krishna and Balaram in the village of Braj. Because wherever there is Krishna, there is? Oh my God, I just read it.
Balaram.
You guys actually listen to anything or not? Okay. Wherever there's Krishna, there is Balaram. Right, so when you meditate on Krishna, you can meditate on Balaram. And then the village of Braj. So when you meditate on Krishna, right, when we chant the holy name, right, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila, Dharma. When you're chanting the holy name, you meditate on the Dharma. Because Krishna is in Braj, the village of Braj. And in that village, all of his associates are there also. So to meditate on Krishna means to meditate on the whole spiritual world. And actually, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes in Madhurya Kadambini that when we meet Krishna, right, if we ever meet him again, right, when you meet him, what will happen? You fall unconscious. And then he wakes you up. And then he says, just look. There's Radharani. There's Govardhan Hill. Right? There's Jamuna. There's the cows. Right? He personally says, look, it's all your back. When will that happen? When will that happen? So Akrura then saw Krishna and Balaram in the village of Braj, going to milk the cows. Krishna wore yellow garments, Balaram blue, and their eyes resembled autumnal lotuses. One of those two mighty arm youths, the shelters of the goddess of fortune, had a dark blue complexion, and the others was white. With their fine-featured faces, they were the most beautiful of all persons. As they walked with a gait of young elephants, glancing about with compassionate smiles, these two exalted personalities beautify the cow pasture with their impressions of their feet. which bore the marks of the flag, lightning bolt, elephant, gourd, and lotus. The two lords, whose pastimes are most magnanimous and attractive, were ornamented with jeweled necklaces and flower garlands, anointed with auspicious, fragrant substances, freshly bathed, and dressed in spotless raiment. They were the primeval, supreme personalities, the masters of the original causes of the universes, who had, for the welfare of the earth, now descended in their distinct forms as Keshava and Balaram. O King Parikshit, they resembled two gold-bedecked mountains, one of emerald and the other of silver. As with their effulgence, they dispelled the sky's darkness in all directions. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan Aki. Okay. There's Krishna and Balaram. So these verses we can meditate on. Because when you chant the holy name, then what is the second component? Rupa. So this is the meditation on the Rupa. And then from that comes Guna, then Leela, then you meditate on the Dhamma. Akrura, overwhelmed with affection, quickly jumped down from his chariot and fell at the feet of Krishna and Balaram like a rod. So what is the mood of Akrura?
Oh, yeah,
Dasya Ras. Yeah, he's in the mood of Dasya, servant. So he comes before Krishna and Balaram and he falls down at their lotus feet. Right. Who else does this in Vrindavan? No one. Devotees in Vrindavan don't do this. They don't fall down at Krishna's feet. If you do that in Vrindavan, Krishna's like, what are you doing? What are you laying on the ground for? They don't do that. The cowherd boys, they just go up, they put their arms on Krishna's shoulders. The gopis, they have their particular relationships with him. Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they'll smell his hair, take his head, and they will smell the hair, smell the head. So they will, but you won't see anyone in Vrindavan laying on the ground like this. Akrura is doing that because he's in Dasya Ras. The joy of seeing the Supreme Lord flooded Akrura's eyes with tears and decorated his limbs with eruptions of ecstasy. He felt such eagerness that he could not speak to present himself, O King. Recognizing Akrura, Lord Krishna drew him close with his hand, which bears the sign of the chariot wheel, and then embraced him. Krishna felt pleased, for he is always benignly disposed towards his surrendered devotee.
Sri Chaitanya Prabhu. Krishna Acharya, by extending his hand marked with the chariot wheel or chakra, Lord Krishna indicated his ability to kill Kamsa.
So what are the points in the purport?
Lord Krishna is assuring Kamsa that he will be killed.
What's that?
Lord Krishna is assuring Akrura that he will be killed.
How? And? What's on his hand? Chakra. So Krishna shows his hand. And he shows. Touches him. And he shows his hand to him. And touches him. And on the hand is? Chakra. And what is his most powerful weapon? Chakra. Yeah, if Krishna says, in the pastime of Jagai and Madai, Lord Nityananda, Madai picked up one pot and threw it and hit Lord Nityananda on the head. And then Lord Chaitanya came there, and Lord Chaitanya, when he saw Nityananda bleeding, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Chakra, Chakra, right? And then Chakra manifested. That's his most powerful weapon. So he's showing. Don't worry, I'm going over there soon, right? And if there's any problems, then chakra will manifest. And if chakra comes, then big problem. Okay. If chakra's there, then we just, most fearful weapon of Krishna. So he's showing that. So in other words, what is Krishna giving? He's giving shelter to the living entities. The tenth canto is called Ashraya. And who is Ashraya? Krishna. This is him right here. This is Ashraya. This is Krishna. Who is your Ashraya? Who do you take shelter of when you're in trouble? When you have problems in your life, where do you take shelter? Radha Kund? Someone say that? Did someone just say Radha Kund?
No, I said Radha.
Oh, Bhagavatam. I thought you said Radha Kund. It's a very good answer, Radha Kund. But Bhagavatam, yeah. Bhagavatam. It means when our lives are going through difficulty, and interesting, Burujan Prabhu, he asked this question sometimes to devotees. He said, where is your shelter? Right? When you're going through problems, where do you take shelter? Right? What is your ashraya? It's interesting. See what your mind does. Burujan Prabhu always says this. See what your mind does when you're going through difficulty. See where it goes. It's interesting because it's not always Krishna. What is it?
What's the right answer?
Take a wild guess.
Hades?
Huh? Anything. Anything which is Krishna. If you say holy name, that's correct. If you say Bhagavatam, that's correct. If you say the deities, that's correct. If you say the holy Dhamma, that's correct. If you say advanced devotees, that's correct. So. If you say Krishna, that's correct. If you say Balaram, that's correct. If you say Radha Kund, that's correct. If you say Gulab Jamun, that's correct.
Prasadam.
As long as they're offered to Krishna. The point is, it means Devi Prakriti Ashrita. So it means the internal energy. You have to take shelter of the internal energy. Different ways. Ultimately, it means Krishna. That's what it means. Okay. As Akrura stood with his head bowed, Lord Sankarsana, Balaram, grasped his joined hands, and then Balaram took him to his house in the company of Lord Krishna. After inquiring from Akrura whether his trip had been comfortable, Balaram offered him a first-class seat, bathed his feet in accordance with the injunctions of Scripture, and respectfully served him milk with honey. So you remember previously, a few verses ago, Akrura was meditating on all of this, and now it's actually all happening. Because this is the mercy of the Lord. If we meditate on something, Krishna will give it to you. Be very careful what you meditate on. I've seen devotees since I became a devotee. I remember when I first joined, there was one devotee, he was more senior than me. Every day he would get up at 3:30 in the morning. He was Grihastha, but every day he got up at 3:30 in the morning. He was, come to Mangalati every day, chant rounds before Mangalati. He'd finish all of his rounds by 6 o'clock in the morning, and then he'd read Srimad Bhagavatam for 1 hour before the deities. Every day, Grihastha devotee. But in his mind, he was meditating on becoming rich. Right, and he became very rich, but then he left Krishna consciousness, and he actually became quite offensive to the devotees. Right, so whatever you desire, Krishna will fulfill that. So when you're chanting and you're doing your devotional service, be very careful what you desire, because Krishna will fulfill it. Right, if you desire devotional service, Krishna will give you devotional service. But if you desire wealth or fame or anything outside of devotion, so Krishna will give you that also. That's easy for you. The Almighty Lord Balaram presented Akrura with the gift of a cow, massaged his feet to relieve him of fatigue, and then, with great respect, and faith fed him suitably prepared food of various fine tastes. Okay, very interesting. What day is all this taking place on?
Dwadashi.
Very good. Dwadashi. The day before was?
Ekadashi.
So what happens in the morning on Ekadashi?
Breakfast.
Yeah, it's a breakfast. Sorry, yeah, on Dwadashi. What happens on Dwadashi? You have to?
Breakfast
with grains. So what did Akrura do? He got up. He was so excited to see Krishna. He just got on the chariot and he rode all day. And all day he was just thinking about Krishna. And then he got there. He hadn't even broken fast. And then it actually said in the Shastra, you're not allowed to break fast in the evening time. That's inauspicious. But while Balaram was offering him food, he said, yes, I will take it. If Lord Balaram gives you prasadam, what do? You don't care. Day, night, this, that, you don't care. It's all, doesn't matter. See, same thing when Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya became a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knocked on his door at 5 o'clock in the morning after Mangalati. And he opened the door, he just got out of bed. Right? He opened the door, still in his pajamas, right? And hadn't even washed his mouth. And he said, Mahaprabhu, you are here. Lord Chaitanya said, I've brought you prasad from Jagannath. Right? And he gave it to him. Right? And then he said it. And Lord Chaitanya looked, he said, you haven't even washed your mouth? You haven't even taken bath yet? And he said, you have given me Jagannath Prasad. So I don't care about anything. Just on it. On the spot. Lord Chaitanya said, yesterday you were the biggest Mayavadi in the world. Today you're the best devotee in the world. So what happened? He said, my Lord, it's just your mercy that all this took place. So that is the... Akrura is thinking like that. You know, he's gone past... Yeah, what time a Kodashi should be broken, and you know, if this is a right time, is this a wrong time, right? Is it evening time? He's just thinking, if Balaram's giving you prasad, you just take it. Imagine if Balaram was giving you prasad. I can't even imagine what this would be like. Imagine Lord Balaram himself says, here, take this. What would you do? Yeah, you would take it. And you give some to the brahmacharis. When Akrura had eaten to his satisfaction, Lord Balaram, the supreme knower of religious duties, offered him aromatic herbs for sweetening his mouth, along with fragrances and flower garlands. Thus Akrura once again enjoyed the highest pleasure. Nanda Maharaj asked Akrura, O descendant of Dasharha, how are all of you maintaining yourselves while that merciless Kamsa remains alive? You are just like sheep under the care of a butcher. So this is what happens when the irreligious people take over. Everyone's lives become a problem. And we see now in Kali Yuga, just beginning, people's lives are becoming a problem. Now, it will happen more now. Escalates from now on, it's more. Like that. So, in Kali Yuga, we can't kill them. We're not allowed to kill people anymore. In the old days, it was good. You just get a sword, you just kill them. But now we have to kill the demoniac spirit. So we have to preach and preach and preach and turn everyone into devotees. The cruel, self-serving Kamsa murdered the infants of his own sister in her presence, even as she cried in anguish. So why should we even ask about the well-being of you, his subjects? Honored by Nanda Maharaj with these true and pleasing words of inquiry, Akrura forgot the fatigue of his journey. So that is the note. That is the potency of associating with Krishna. When you associate with Krishna, what happens to your life? everything becomes perfect. Huh? What are the first two qualities of bhakti that Rupa Goswami teaches in Nectar of Devotion? Yeah. Shubhada and Kleshagni. Kleshagni means? Yeah, distress is destroyed. So when you become a devotee, even on our level, distress is gone. Hands up if you feel any distress. Sometimes, yeah. How about if you're feeling distress right now? Everything is good? Yeah. So now we're thinking of going back. But as long as we're engaged in devotional service, there's no distress. When you stop doing devotional service, big problem. Like that. Srila Prabhupada ki. See you tomorrow. Tomorrow we start chapter 39. Chapter 39 has one Gita inside it. So far we've had three Gitas. What are the three Gitas? First one is Venu Gita, chapter 21. Very good. Second Gita was? Gopi Gita. Gopi Gita was chapter 31. Third Gita was? Yugala Gita. Yugala Gita was chapter 35. Very good. And now in chapter 39, part of it is called Viraha Gita. Viraha. Song of separation. If any of us are a little bit advanced, tears will come from our eyes uncontrollably when you hear the Viraha Gita. But because our hearts are like stone, nothing will happen. But the next chapter is very powerful, so please come. Hare Krishna. Thank you.